and over, over. Let's turn it over. And they find their backs against the sea. Egyptians will not let them be. God shows up, goes to town. The waters split, Egyptians drown. Head to Sinai, finally free. Moshe's all like BRB. People get impatient, start to fuss. They build a cow, oh speak to us. God forgives them and moves on. They start to build.
This week's Parsha is Ki Tisa. And to hear the entire story of Parshat Ki Tisa, you can listen to last year's telling of Parshat Ki Tisa, which was a longer telling because the story is so rich. And inside Parshat Ki Tisa are two of the most important, dramatic, formative moments, perhaps in the entire Torah. The first story is the famous story of the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, and how in their impatience, waiting for Moshe to return down from the mountain, Bnei Yisrael goes to Aharon, they gather against him, and they say, "Oh no, Moshe's dead, now we don't have any way to talk to God. Aharon, we need you to help us. We need to make some kind of intermediary between us and God, because if we can't talk to God and then God can't talk to us, then we're out here all alone in the wilderness and we have no one." And famously, Aharon guides the people toward committing perhaps the greatest sin in the history of the Jewish tradition, which is building an idol only 40 days after having received the Aseret HaDibrot, when rule number two is that you should not build any idols and worship them. And the second part of Parshat Ki Tisa is the moment when Moshe begins to understand God's true essence. God says, "No one can see me face to face, but you, Moshe, are a very special person, and so I'm going to reveal myself to you in a way that I've never revealed myself to any of the other prophets, and in a way that I'll never reveal myself to any prophet again." You see, every other prophet meets God in dreams or in visions, because to actually be awake and actually for real be meeting God face to face, and no human would be able to handle that. But God believes that Moshe is ready to meet God in the fullest way that is possible for a human to meet God. And so Moshe turns his face away, and the Spirit of God passes behind Moshe with these words, "Adonai, Adonai el rachum v'chanun, erech apayim v'rav chesed, v'emet noter chesed le'alafim nose avon v'fesha v'chata v'nake." Meaning, God is a merciful, loving, forgiving, abounding in kindness God. And these words, which we call the Yud Gimel Midot, the 13 attributes of God, are really the ultimate midot, are the ultimate attributes that all people should aspire to be merciful, to be loving, to be full of chesed, to be full of goodness and giving. And really, this moment is in very stark contrast with the story of the Egel HaZahav, which in many ways is the lowest moment in all of the Torah for the Jewish people. And then this is a moment when God reveals God's self, God's holiest essence on earth more than ever. And they both happen in Parshat Ki Tisa. Now, what is it that happens in between the Egel HaZahav and the moment when God reveals God's self to Moshe? Well, a couple of things. Moshe breaks the initial set of luchot, the initial set of tablets that God had carved out with God's voice. And then Moshe is commanded to re-carve out a new set of tablets by hand. Aharon tries to explain himself. The people ask for forgiveness. But perhaps most importantly, Moshe pleads on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. Now, what's interesting is that God says to Moshe, "If you want, I'll start a new nation with you. You'll get to pick your people. Moshe, you're awesome, but Bnei Yisrael is a lost cause. They're a stiff-necked people, and you deserve better than that. And now, there are midrashim about exactly what Moshe said to God as part of their conversation, where Moshe tries to defend the people. And at one point in the Torah text, Moshe brings up their forefathers, their ancestors, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who we learned all about in Sefer Bereishit. And according to the Midrash, Moshe is getting a little fresh with God and says, God, think about their ancestors. Think about all that they went through to get us to this moment. I mean, if you're angry with them and you're going to punish them and you're going to destroy all of them, what are you going to do? You're going to destroy them by fire? Well, look at Abraham. You remember that someone just tried to destroy him by fire when Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace, which you can hear that story in this year's telling of Parshat Lech Lecha. Well, obviously, the fiery furnace isn't going to stop Abraham, and it shouldn't stop these people either. Well, maybe you'll bring against them the sword. Well, that didn't stop their ancestor Yitzchak. You remember, in Parshat Vayera, there was a knife coming up in Abraham's hand, about to go onto the neck of Yitzchak in the story of Akedat Yitzchak. But that didn't stop Yitzchak. He survived all of it, and now the people are here because of them. And perhaps you want to just leave them. Perhaps you think that the best way to destroy the people is to leave them be. Leave them in exile in the wilderness with no leadership, with no path forward. Well, you know who was in a similar situation to that? Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov left his family, when he was fleeing away from his brother Esav, and he didn't know where he was going to end up going, he ended up with his uncle Laban, who in many ways was even worse. But through his resiliency, Yaakov actually not only survived his exile from Canaan, he actually thrived and built the people that we know today. So God, you are very powerful, and the people made a big mistake, and I can understand why you would want to hurt them. But remember Abraham, remember Yitzhak, remember Yaakov. These are the descendants of these amazing people, and even if they themselves made a big mistake, their ancestors have earned them a lot of credit with you, God. And then Moshe says something very interesting. Moshe says, God, you remember, just 2 weeks ago, you told me that I should command the people to make something that has gold in it, that has all sorts of jewelry in it, where sacrifices are going to be made, including cows. You remember that? You remember you said that you were going to come, the Shekhinah was going to come and dwell upon a golden, precious, cow-related thing? You remember that, God? So look, they messed up. They got their signals crossed. But they actually didn't do such a terrible thing. You want them to build things for holy purposes. They built something for a bad purpose. They are trying to learn, God. They are a new nation. Moshe continues in the Midrash. All these people have ever known is idol worship. That's what they saw in Egypt. That's what they grew up in. And yes, God, I know that you told them the Aseret HaDibrot. I know that rule number two is that they can't build idols. But they heard that 40 days ago from you one time. And that is supposed to somehow undo hundreds of years of being exposed to Egyptian idol worship? God, let's give them a break here. Because, as I actually just told my son recently, sometimes making mistakes doesn't mean that you did something wrong. Sometimes you need those mistakes to learn what's right. And all of that really resonates with God. And that's the moment when God says, yes, Moshe, now you truly understand what it is that I want from humanity. And so God reveals God's self to Moshe. And then God says, and by the way, that point you made about the Mishkan, that's really interesting. So now that you've carved out the new set of tablets, the time has come for you to build something actually holy and do the building that I was actually hoping the people would do after I finished giving you the Torah. And that building is really going to begin in next week's podcast, Parsha. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And maybe let's show some forgiveness to each other.